This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You made it Friday, as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Of course, the dangerous duo there, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street at the D Hotel Casino and Spa. I don't know if they have a spa, but the big guy will find one if they do. Of course, right there at Bar Canada, as we say hi to the boys. Got a huge show coming up for you. It is a Friday, so Samich is going to join in the third hour. And of course, we'll run the board every NFL game. Speaking of which, the Jags with the win last night. We may have some drama with the New Orleans Saints, which we'll get to coming up in just a little bit. You have two more baseball games as far as the Major League Baseball playoffs. And from the freaking clouds, Brandon Pfaadt. Where did that come from yesterday as the Snakes climb back into the series against the... I'm out on the Phillies, by the way. I'm out. I can't wait to fade them in the World Series. We'll get to that in just a bit. But 2-1 series lead for the Phillies there. And then somebody pissed off the champs as the Astros get nuts. We said Andrew Haney wasn't any good. We thought he'd last the first inning. He didn't. He gone, and it's a 2-2 series there with the Astros and the Rangers, as we say. And our Dukes, big guy, Dustin Sweetelson with JMU, a win over Marshall last night. Let's say hi to the boys and get this three-hour tour on the tracks. Amal Shaw, how are we feeling today?
Feeling good, feeling a lot better than Foster Moreau for the New Orleans Saints. But tell you what, great baseball last night between that Phillies Diamondbacks game and then, of course, the Astros just jumping on Dallas, on the Rangers early, and it was over. Tell you what, guys, it's going to be interesting the way the series moves forward. I know people hate the Houston Astros, but you're going to be seeing them for several more games.
Absolutely. Those cheaters aren't going anywhere. And speaking of cheaters, a huge college football slate, Michigan State. I took a shot at the maize and blue there. We'll get to that. Of course, the headline at the horseshoe with Penn State, Ohio State. We'll get to the college action. And you mentioned as far as the Jags survive a late scare from the Saints 31-24 winner. But the big guy joins us and feeling good on a Friday. What's cracking?
Danger.
Used to call us dangerous duo. It made me think of mystical. I am in danger in our dog pound segment we do. I'm in a lot of trouble. Both of you hit underdogs last night, and I had a big lead going into things like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've been ice cold, and I am very nervous about that. You, Amal, hit on Rice, outright winner on the road at Tulsa.
Thank you.
And then you hit on the Jaguars, which, looking back at it last night, it's like, come on, which team's the better football team? The Saints are awful. The NFC South is awful. I have no idea who to pick to win that division right now.
Yeah, Patrick, great call. That game really should not have been as close as the final score. I didn't like Doug Peterson's decision to go for it on fourth down. But by the way, can people realize that Trevor Lawrence is one of the top five scramblers in the National Football League? I mean, go back to his days at Clemson. He's beaten so many defenses with his legs at times.
That's why dismissing him when talking about Caleb Williams. And remember, we talked about it on Friday where I told you that the scout said Caleb Williams is going to make Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow seem just like basic game managers. Are you freaking kidding me? Lawrence is a superstar. Burrow's already gone to the Super Bowl. And Caleb Williams, you know what's interesting? Just as an aside for fun today, the quarterbacks in college football, I wrote down 12. That were exceptional. I'll save it, Amal, but I wrote down 12 that are exceptional. It's a very rich time for quarterback play in college football. Oh, by the way, I had Caleb Williams ranked fourth on just like top of mind list. So the hype for Williams, but you mentioned Lawrence. So let's discuss him because he was uneven through the air and he was playing with the injury, but he had 8 rushes for 63 yards. You can go back to the national championship game, I believe it was against Alabama, where he just pulled away from defenders running the football. Agree with you. His size and his athleticism is underrated. So let's get into it. 31-24, the under. Sorry about all that. But the Jags survive a late scare for their fourth win in a row. And now 5-2, they sit well atop the AFC South. You talked about the NFC South, the AFC South as well. Not very good. Lawrence, 20-29, Amal, 204, one touchdown. Kind of uneven throwing the football, but 8 for 63 on the ground. And really the story here, and I'll let you guys run with this, but the Jags D early on, I don't know if we want to compliment the Jags defense or if we want to start taking shots at what could be kind of a brewing controversy, and that is the Saints' inept, unimaginative offense. And now it appears there's some beef with Derek Carr, who didn't do anything except check down for three straight quarters, and potentially Chris Olave. But that's what I had in my notes. The Jags defense early on, you know, three quarters, just giving up 9 points. And I wrote down Carr continues to check down.
Well, this has been a problem with his throughout his entire career, and I don't think he's gotten called out for it. He's a nice guy with the media, so he gets a little bit of a pass. But this has been a problem. Until that fourth quarter, guys, the New Orleans Saints had scored as many offensive touchdowns as their opponents' defenses had scored, one each. I mean, it's unbelievable how poorly this team had played on the offensive side of the ball. They do have that quick three-strike drive where they hit Thomas twice and they get the touchdown to get things level. But I don't know. You get down to the six-yard line. I didn't like the idea. They did have Foster Moreau. I think it was on second down. Might have been third down. But I thought they should have mixed in a run with Alvin Kamara. He was effective on that drive as well. Some of the decision-making with this team, it's amazing. We criticize so many coaches. I shouldn't say we. I know I do in particular, but it's amazing that Dennis Allen continues to get a pass. There is some serious talent on this team, but the problem is in the secondary with the number of PIs, defensive holdings, illegal contacts they get. And then when was last time at the professional level you saw a wide receiver take a crossing route like Christian Kirk did and just go straight to the house? That looked like a play you see in the Mountain West Conference.
They have two problems, the Saints, Dustin, Amal, and Dennis Allen, you just mentioned, is 18-42 as a head coach in the National Football League. He should be gone. Like, get the hell out of here. Take the offensive coordinator with you. My gosh, what is that? But then Derek Carr, the pick six doesn't help. But how about this? Derek Carr over the last two games, 102 pass attempts, just two touchdowns on 102 pass attempts. Those 102 pass attempts is the most in a two-game span in his career, and the most in a two-game span in Saints history. The Saints had Sean Payton and Drew Brees. He threw 102 pass attempts over the last two games and two touchdowns to show for it. This offense right now, anemic, big guy. And, of course, the Michael Thomas touchdown, two-point conversion. Taysom Hill gives them an element late where they kind of tied it up at 24-24, but the Jags come back and answer with Christian Kirk on the touchdown that Amal just discussed.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are trashing Dennis Allen. He's living the American dream. He has a 30% career win percentage as a head coach. Of coaches to coach 60 or more games, that is ranked 169 out of 174.
Donks behind him?
Him being an NFL head coach again after what we saw, and especially with the way the league is going now with more offensive-minded coaches to prop up that side of the ball where everything matters so much more, it is one of the more remarkable moves of all time. The only question with the New Orleans Saints for me right now is, can Jameis Winston change their future?
But by the way, why have the Saints for the last season and a half just absolutely refused under any circumstances to put Jameis Winston on the field unless it's a dire emergency?
Or get creative with Taysom Hill.
I agree. In the red zone.
They're hearing too much talk. There was a lot of talk about too much Taysom Hill, too many gadget plays, too many of him under center. And it's almost like they listened to the outside noise and now they're not using him in that way anymore.
By the way, remember when they got the ball back after they tied it at 24? Jacksonville punts. They get the ball deep inside their own, I think, 10, 12 yard line. They go a quick three and out on three incomplete passes. How about getting a conversion of a first down and then start opening up your offense? I didn't understand why they just dropped back and threw the ball.
I don't think they have an opening of the offense.
Well, at least better than, hey, let's throw the ball out of bounds and then let's complain about it when the play doesn't execute according to the plan. But I have no idea what this team is doing. I thought you were in a bad spot because as soon as you punt there, Jacksonville gets one first down. They're in field goal range.
Also, the Saints, I guess, objective and philosophy of getting into the red zone and throwing goal line fades one after another.
What is that?
Probably not going to get it done. What are those? That is such a throwaway, literally and figuratively. Well, just that shows you've got nothing as far as imagination in that playbook.
In their mind, they're probably saying, you know what? We've got a 33% chance of catching a fade route. So if we throw three of them, I'd say we're going to catch one of them. It's the only thing I can think of. The offense is gross. It's disgusting. I was like the last Derek Carr defender, but even I was on the fence with where he is right now. This guy is no longer a starting quarterback in the NFL. He takes risks at the wrong time. He doesn't take enough risks when he should, when it's advantageous for the offense. He doesn't move the ball down the field the right way. This guy, you can't win with him. He's a useless quarterback. And here's the problem for the Saints right
now.
Can't
do it.
They are locked into a contract with him for the next few years. They're also still in salary cap hell for the next few years. I don't know when things get right for the Saints. You got to look at this salary cap. Ramchick's making $27 million next year. Cam Jordan, 23. Kamara, 18. Taysom Hill, 16. Andrus Pete, 13. Jameis Winston could potentially make $10 million next year. This team has mismanaged the cap in a way nobody ever has in the NFL.
Who is it, Carmichael, that's running the offense? Let me explain something to you, Mr. Carmichael. You should always be thinking WWBJD. What would Ben Johnson do? You know, he orchestrates the offense for the Detroit Lions. Nobody's ever called a better game than Ben Johnson. I swear to God, I'm 45 years old, watching football my whole entire life. Everybody wants him because he calls the most marvelous offensive flow you've ever seen. You think he's going to throw fades in the red zone? What would Ben Johnson do? Donk.
Well, you better be careful because the people in New Orleans might find out next year when he's their next head coach.
But by the way,
the problem is the owner with the umbrella. Remember Benson used to run around with the umbrella.
Tom
His
Benson.
Wife runs the team now. You know what? Like Allen, Carmichael, Derek Carr. Like, this is a problem for the Saints moving forward, who are 3-4. And the Jags, conversely, all of a sudden, four straight wins. We'll come back and hear from Derek Carr. Maybe some drama there in the Big Easy.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Yowza, big guy directing traffic at the D. I see you working, Dustin. I see you working, my man. I'm proud of you. And I'd be proud of you if you signed up right now and saved a bunch of money. $120 for the Sports Equinox. All four major sports in action. And VSIN's got you covered. Daily best bets, unlimited action, and access to our betting splits. Remember, you get the tools, you get the betting guides. We've got another betting guide coming out with the college basketball guide, which is going to be freaking awesome. Get involved. March Madness, the draft, VSIN.com/subscribe. It's kind of that special time of the year where you've got the Sports Equinox. So we've got a special $120 through May 1. Can't beat it. VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, hope you're having a nice week as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Just a ton to do. Just the best time of the year. Major League Baseball looks like it's going to start to get interesting. It already has in the AL. I think there's going to be some, I don't know if you want to call it beef, but there's some tension right now in that series. The Snakes made it interesting last night. Brandon fought from the freaking clouds. I don't know where that performance came from. Suarez was very good as well. In that series, as far as the ALCS is concerned, we reset the rotation. So, of course, you're going to have Verlander, Montgomery, which we'll get to in a bit. But as we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, they're at the D. And I see you working, big guy. I see you working.
Well,
that was impressive.
It kind of blew up in my face because a young lady was going to sit directly behind me, even though this section is roped off. And I got to tell you, I was a fan. I was definitely a fan. She was not
a fan
of Sharp Money, but I was a fan, which is the only reason why I get up to say, hey, you know, you can't really sit here. This VIP only section, right? I never get to pull that on anyone. And I was like, yeah, I go over there, over there. And she goes, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then she just bounced and left. I was hoping maybe she'd sit over there, right next to me, just on the outside of the set. That way, maybe in between breaks, I go, sorry for being kind of rude if I was back there. Let me buy you a drink while I'm on the air.
I saw her and she completely fits your type and your proclivity. I was a little surprised that you didn't kind of use, hey, I'm doing a broadcast here. You can sit right to the left here and maybe invite her to stick around. Instead, you gave her the boot.
No, and I was like, well, I should have said you should go sit over there. But truth is, my arms are so sore from the gym these days. I can't really stretch them out to point properly.
Is that a flex?
No, I can't flex. They're so sore.
Yeah, but I mean, you just bragged about working out so much.
Well, that's what I would have said to her, like, hey, you should go sit. Oh, you know what? My arms, big arm day yesterday. Big arm day.
Yes. All right. Well, maybe you could track her down and she could join us when we run the board. Okay. So you just sent me, and I don't know, Amal, if you saw it either, your boy Ohio State, Chris Olave. It at one point it appeared yesterday. Then we'll look ahead what the Saints and the Jags have coming up with the Jags 31-24 winner on Thursday Night Football to kick off week 7. By the way, can we get our buddy Al Michaels, maybe a Celsius, maybe some Starbucks, maybe a 5-hour energy. I don't know what it is, but Al's in his 80s and it appears that is starting to show. Now, at one point, Derek Carr was screaming at Olave for giving up on a route. Did you two notice this? Because I didn't notice it in real time.
Yeah, I saw it right away. So Olave's running. It was the third down play just after the last sequence for them. They had tied the game up at 24 apiece. And he threw what was supposed to be a deep ball. And Olave kind of just fizzled out on the route, really didn't run the route fully or maybe cut the route off short. And so Carr was pointing. I didn't know if it was necessarily towards Olave or something he saw down the field, but it seemed like it might have been towards Olave.
Yeah, it's not really in his nature, yeah. And that is Derek Carr, who's God-fearing. We know this. The most exciting part when they were on Hard Knocks was him continuously talking about how nervous he was to prepare to his boo thing. Remember that? But he was just like, gosh, you have to understand. I had to ask her father. Amy, he's so wholesome. That's why it's always hard to talk about Derek Carr in a negative way because, you know, low-key stinks, but yeah, no, at the same time, he's like a really good person. He means well. Yeah, he's good-natured. However, we do have a couple of clips from him. Maybe we could glean something here as far as chemistry and that Saints locker room, big guy.
Yeah, so the first one here from Derek Carr after the game, he was asked about the interaction with if it was intended for Olave, his frustration, and he just kind of went on a diatribe about being too emotional on the field right now.
You know, I've been showing my emotion a little bit too much on my sleeve, you know, like I kind of got to chill out, you know, and that's me holding myself accountable because that's not going to help anything. And so just trying to be a calming influence in those moments, especially when it's been a couple of times it's happened, that heightened frustration, I could do a better job as a leader to calm everybody down. Like the past 2 weeks, I've just been talking in general, you know, because there was some things, and you know, I'm not going to tell you, but there were some things that happened today that led to some pretty big negative plays that should never happen. And I think that's where my frustration was coming from.
Wow. So I guess he did kind of passively right there just call out teammates maybe doing the wrong thing. Is that what you guys took from that?
I thought he was from the Shane Beamer School of Media right there. I mean,
yeah,
it just, I was surprised to hear him say that last comment, Patrick, which you just pointed out.
But I think maybe I edited it wrong. He didn't want to single out Olave. I think there was more than just Olave that went wrong. But if you watch the play, he's looking at Olave and he throws it out of bounds towards Olave. There's no one else to be mad about.
Josh McDaniels hasn't done a lot right as the Raiders coach. But his evaluation of the quarterback situation when he got there and getting out from under it might be a franchise saving decision.
Yeah. Real quick, Derek Carr, multiple choice. I want to run this by you guys. I'll give you four options. Derek Carr is from A, Oklahoma, B, South Carolina, C, Alabama, or D, California.
D, Fresno,
he's from
California.
Northern California.
Yeah. Why does he sound like that?
Like country?
Yes.
A remarkable like swath of Northern and just California in general is quite country and rural.
I don't know.
But you're right. But he does sound like a kid that I went to school with, and that was in South Carolina.
He owns a banjo.
I mean, I guarantee he's a great citizen in his community. He's a great husband. He's a great father. Just not a great quarterback.
No, he's not.
We've got another clip from him.
Yeah. So, this was him then reflecting on the loss, things not going right. And Derek Carr said, we got to get things going in the right direction.
I'm going to do everything in my power to fix that, you know. And I know our guys are going to do everything in their power because it's not malicious or, you know, coming from a bad place, you know. And so, you know, look, it sucks right now. You know, we're finding everything that sucks right now. We're going to point it out. We're going to call it out. And we're going to try and work on that to get better as leaders. And that's our job. You know, whether it's going really good or it's tough, you still got to be able to you know, I say it before every game to the guys, we're not playing the scoreboard, we're playing against the standard. And our standard is this. If that's our standard, that's what we're playing against. And, you know, we got to make sure that not only throughout the week, you got to meet that standard, but when game day happens, you got to meet that standard. Like, I'm okay, you know, if a guy gets beat, you know, I'm okay if they make a play that, I mean, they're going to make a play, you know. But there's some things in football that are completely controllable that I think we could do better.
Oh, he's pissed.
Yeah, but
that's as pissed off as a God-fearing man is going to sound, but you could tell he's pissed right now.
But he's saying that we're, like, the whole team isn't doing things and like other people like aren't getting done what needs to get done. But he also doesn't get done what needs to get done.
Oh, I would agree with you on Carr. I never understood the affinity for him all these years. I thought he was just a guy who was a good quarterback who got paid like he was an absolute top 10 quarterback. Never saw that out of him. But this is the most criticism I've seen him give of other teammates. And I'm not exactly sure what has brought this on. But when you look at the Saints team, the frustration you can sense is starting to boil over simply because there's enough talent, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, special teams, to be better than they are. And they are arguably in, would we say, the weakest or the second weakest division in football?
Ooh.
Yeah, right there. The two Souths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no two argument. Souths. Exactly.
AFC and FC South. Yeah. Hey, you're right. Now I can't not hear Merle Haggard when he talks. Like, could he be more country? Like, what is going on?
He's ready to open the press conference with Amarillo by morning.
Amarillo by morning.
It's a banger.
Check yes or no. All right. Things don't. Now, that was your favorite coming into the season as far as in division. Pretty good favorite as well in the Saints. And right now they're a disaster. 3-4. They travel to the Colts next week. I can take a look at the number and just quickly, boys, the Jags, who all of a sudden, as I mentioned, 5-2, well atop that AFC South. And again, fourth straight win, very impressive because they went to London and then they came home, didn't take the bye, covered, very good performance against the Colts. Now go on the road and beat up on the Saints. Impressive. And they will be at the Steelers this week, boys.
I don't know if you guys agree because the Buffalo game, they had that extra week in London, I thought was an advantage to them. But I thought this is the most impressive win during the winning streak. You go on the road, Saints have generally done well at home, good defense. You expected it to be a lower scoring game, and they find a way through after having squandered a 15-point lead.
Yeah, I thought they were defensively was really what stood out to me last night.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by how they answered following the Houston loss. It was a bad loss. We had them in Survivor, and now they're proving to be who we originally thought they were, just which would have happened earlier, and we'd still be in Survivor.
We've got a baseball game coming up in about an hour and a half. We'll get to that next. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, we got you back here on a Friday. That means Samich Friday. Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street at the D. I'm Patrick Maher. And as we welcome you back and say hi to Mike Samich, just want to give him a special shout out because he's playing hurt today under the weather, but still showed up. Will he or won't he the handle on Saturdays and Sundays this weekend? Because my man is legitimately sick. That is the question. But as we say hi to VSIN hosts, of course, racingdudes.com as well. Make sure you check him out there. Mike Samich. And Mike, as we say, first off, thanks for doing this. I know you're not feeling well. And then we were talking a little bit. Maybe you heard the show because you said you were crunching some numbers for the big guy. So why don't we do this? Dustin, why don't you lay out what you have for futures? As far as baseball, we're going to do plenty, including running the board in the NFL. But quickly, why don't you throw what you have as far as the futures left in baseball and Samich crunch some numbers for you?
Yeah, so I have bets on three teams. One of them is very small, one's in the middle, and one's, I don't know, a little bit bigger, but I wouldn't call it a big bet. So I have in the Rangers, I have five or six different bets. It's about $100 to win about $1,200, somewhere in that range. On Arizona, I've got $50 to win about $1,600. And on Philly, I have $30 to win close to $400. That was just, Philly was looked like a fun team down the stretch, and I wanted to be in the mix on that one. And it could potentially cover all of my bets for the World Series. But I have nothing on the Astros. And Mike and I actually talked about this when we went to dinner a couple weeks ago. He was like, oh, so your only liabilities are the two favorites in each league? Luckily, Mike, we got rid of one. We still have one looming. They're still trailing in the series, but I can tell you after last night, I'm a little nervous about the Astros and not having a bet on them.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely one of the teams you got to be worried about here. Just four left. They seem like the best AL team. They'll have to come back against the Rangers to get the job done. One of the first questions I asked you when you said I have these three live futures was, well, what team do you like the most? Because I think that's an important part about trying to figure out how you want to possibly hedge these. And your response was, I like the Phillies the most. Like, I agree with you right now. They're the betting favorite, plus 155 over on DraftKings. And so if I was going to attack this, if I were you, I would make one of two decisions. I would either load up on the Phillies here, or I wouldn't do anything right now because I don't like the price for the Astros and kind of what you'd have to come back in there. I think that you have, I like, you're just a big Rangers fan right now in my mind. And then you decide if you want to load up with more on the Phillies. Cause I looked at it, like if you bet 200 to win on the Phillies, you don't put yourself in that much better of a position than you are now. And if the Astros do end up winning the AL, you have to come in with a bet that almost costs you all your profits here, or you're sweating out the World Series where you only have the Phillies and it could be just a train wreck. Cause you said you don't want to root for the Astros, and then the Astros could cost you money on top of it. So I would just hold ground right now. If it ever you get a better price on the Phillies or a better price on the Astros, you want to put a little bit on them to try and get more juice there, than cool. But with the way that this has gone, I think you just kind of hold serve and then possibly bet more on the Phillies once you get to the World Series.
I think that's the move. I think that's absolutely the move.
Well, I thought Mike made a point that's very important for future reference for people who might be hedging a play. You said, which team do you like? Which one do you believe can win? And I think that's something that people need to take in consideration, not just the notion of, hey, it's a strictly a financial hedge, but how do you think it's going to potentially play out as well?
Boys, quickly, we do have game five coming up here in just about 4 minutes. First pitch, Astros Rangers reset the rotation with Verlander and Montgomery. Amal, we'll get to you, and Dustin, both were thinking under nine. Samich, did you have a play here in this one?
I haven't played. I've been looking at that under nine the whole day, though. To me, this is a game where I think you're going to see a more defensive style. You got Verlander back on the mound. He loves these type of games, generally pitches very well in this spot. Close game. I expect you're going to not have the managers allow these pitchers to go too long. So if you see any situations where it's time to go to the bullpen, they're going to go to the bullpen as the first choice versus letting someone stay in there, especially in this game five spot. So to me, I would take the under nine here as well, but don't have a play on it right now.
Patrick, I took the under nine, and I tell you, I agree completely with what Mike said. Mike, earlier I said that Justin Verlander is the only pitcher in this game that will have a little bit of leeway and some rope. Even as well as Jordan Montgomery has pitched, it'll be a pretty quick hook for Bruce Bochy. You cannot come back to Arlington up 2-0, get swept, and then expect to be able to win two in a row down in Houston. I think it's almost like an all-hands-on-deck situation. You've got an off day tomorrow that allows you to reset your pitching rotation for Tuesday. I'm sorry, for Sunday. So I think this is exactly what you just referenced.
Big guy, you got anything?
Yeah, I still like the under. I don't think I'm going to end up betting it here. I think this is one of those games I'm going to kick back and watch because I think we're going to get an old school October type game, pitching duel deep into the seventh inning, and it's going to be dramatic.
You could have sold me on eight for this total today, so I'll go under nine. Okay. Samich, we were just having a discussion, and we'll get to the future of college football. That is Avery Johnson with K-State. I know you've got to play on one of those. That kid is ridiculous. Dustin told me you got to go YouTube this kid's five touchdown performance last week, and it's crazy. It's fascinating to watch. We were just discussing Penn State, Ohio State. I don't expect you to have official plays here, but if you have a lean, Ohio State 4.5 right now.
I was looking forward to unloading the clip on Ohio State in this game. I have not done it because of the injury concerns I have for Ohio State here. I don't like this Penn State quarterback on the road. He's been on the road twice. He hasn't looked great either time. I backed them minus 14 when they were at Illinois. That was one of the sweatiest games that should have never been a sweat because they just could not score any points. And they had so many opportunities. So I don't really trust this Penn State offense is going to be able to move the football quite a bit. To me, I would lean toward the under because I think Penn State's defense is very good, should be able to hold Ohio State down for the majority of the game. And I don't think the Ohio State's quarterback is going to perform very well on the road. So my leans would be Ohio State minus the 4.5 in the under, but I have not tagged either yet.
I like your play from the perspective of how you broke down Ohio State. I'm not as concerned about the injuries. For me, it comes down to can the Ohio State offensive line handle the Penn State defensive line? I'm just not convinced they can. They have looked average against some pretty pedestrian teams. Now, this is probably the best front they'll face maybe all year or until Michigan.
I there's a few things, death, taxes, and I'll never get those 3 hours back from watching Penn State at Illinois a few weeks ago. That, you know what? I'll say it straight up. That was depressing. That was really, it was a sad experience. Alone by myself watching that game. Are you freaking kidding me? And Penn State had a million, they had a million takeaways in that game and never, like, obviously pulled away in the second half, but Samich is so right. They should have buried a bad Illinois team. Okay. Kansas State. You mentioned, and we were just discussing a little bit off the air, this Avery Johnson, who is electric, and he's the starter there now under center. Just a kid, 18 years old, Kansas State. I've got right now, just to tell you the number, I've got 6 with TCU in town. What do you got here, Samich?
Yeah, I'm laying it with Kansas State here. A lot of times you say, you know, you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. This is one of those rare scenarios where I kind of like having two quarterbacks. We know what Will Howard can do. He's been able to move this offense for 2 years. Struggled last game. They pull him out. You get to see this freshman, like you said, 18-year-old kid, gets 5 rushing touchdowns. Absolutely dynamic in the backfield. We saw Kansas State run for over 200 yards in that game. This is a great spot for me. This TCU team still getting a little too much love based on what they did last year versus what they have done this year. They're coming out of a nice win, but it was a little fraudulent. They got up 14-0 early and were able to just kind of roll away from their opponent last week. I think Kansas State able to provide another big time performance here. I think they're going to light the scoreboard up on this TCU defense, which we saw struggle consistently heading into last week. Again, they played well last week. I don't think that's the norm. I think that was an exception to the rule. So give me I'll lay the 6 here with Kansas State.
Mike, I love your call on this game, and I'll tell you another thing that adds to it for me, Patrick. This is a Kansas State team that's given up just under 21 points per game. I don't think people realize how solid they are. And TCU, they had that great year last year, but they have fallen off of a cliff. These are the types of games so many times that bet from a betting standpoint, if you don't pay that close attention to college football, kind of go under the radar. This is a good spot. You talked about it, how well they performed against Texas Tech on the road. I think the Frogs are in trouble here.
My only concern with laying this would be is we don't get enough Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson's the key to this whole thing. Hand the keys over to him. Will Howard, you had your time. You're okay. Avery Johnson is a different breed. He could make K-State a totally different team.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They've been so hit or miss this year, and a lot of the miss for Kansas State has to do with Will Howard turning the football over and just not being the dude they thought they were getting this year. It's so exciting with the kid. Hand him the keys and let him run wild all over TCU. I totally agree there. Okay, so 6 is the number. Next up, Mike, and I'm guessing most people were watching the late game last week. It was San Diego State at Hawaii on the islands. Let's go ahead and pull this one up just quickly to get your thoughts. Hawaii at New Mexico, laying 2.5.
Yeah, I'll lay it with Hawaii here. I mean, this was as low as 1 at some points this week. I have this as a Hawaii 3-point favorite. This New Mexico team is not good. I mean, they're bad. You look at their 2 wins. It's a D2 school. The other one that they won, it was not an impressive one at all. They ended up beating UMass in overtime. Flip over to Hawaii. Look, they played really well week 1 against Vanderbilt. Complete wrong line. We had Stanford week 2 at home there. I thought that was a great spot to play Stanford, but they came back, beat New Mexico State. New Mexico has lost to New Mexico State at home. This is still a decent Hawaii program. They're not good. They're not what everyone thought after week 1, but they're still decent. This is a bad New Mexico team. I think Hawaii is able to put up some points here. Their defense able to hold a New Mexico offense down that had shown nothing prior to the last couple of weeks. So give me Hawaii here in a blowout here. I think they easily cover the 2.5.
Like the call here, and I thought Schrager and company, the offense got it going. Even though they lost the game against San Diego State, you saw the movement from this offense. I think they'll be effective against this UNM team. Mike's absolutely right. Who do they have wins over? Tennessee Tech and UMass, as you said. They're just not good teams they've played so far. Another one of these games, good find and good pull by you, Mike. Just under the radar, a lot of people are not going to be looking at.
Yeah, there was a tale of two halves for Hawaii. Last Saturday night, Amal just mentioned it. They couldn't do anything offensively against San Diego State in the first half. And then they blew up in the second and played actually really well. I think they take that momentum against a Lobos team that got embarrassed 52-24 against San Jose State last weekend. I do like it. The 1 I prefer, but 2.5, why not? Big guy, you got anything here?
No, I have PTSD. I'm no longer allowed to bet on Hawaii.
And why? What did Tommy Chang do to you or in your family?
Oh, they allowed 21 points last week and lost to San Diego State.
So you were on. Okay, you were on Hawaii. Okay, when we return, Oak State, West Virginia, next with Mike Samich battling through an illness. We appreciate that.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, back to the board here in a second. But first, new customers, remember, download the DraftKings app, bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you use the promo code SHARP. It's a great deal. Plus, no sweat, same game parlay every day over at DraftKings. DraftKings, the crown is yours as we welcome you back again. Samich battling. Really sick. I'm surprised you made it the full hour, if I'm being honest. But we are running the board. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetos, and I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice week. It's a huge, not just a Friday. I think it's still 1-0 in the baseball game, Amal. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, Verlander just gave a walk to Garver, who's batting 071. But right now, one out, bottom of the third inning, 1-0 Strohs.
Okay, and football, of course, all weekend along with the baseball, hockey, basketball. Tuesday, you've got the association officially kicking off, so plenty to do. Okay, boys, let's get right back to it. And a misreport by me. Apparently, Watson was full practice. Mary Kay Cabot, who's dialed in. Dustin, you have an update there with the Cleveland quarterback?
She said he looks like a go despite his shoulder injury that I think is still lingering. He is not at 100%, but looks like he is going to play week 7.
And that Cleveland number of 3.5 indicates potentially that he is going to play at Indy. Okay, next one up, 457, Detroit at Baltimore. And this is a great game. And Baltimore is laying 3, Samich 43 on the total.
I passed this spot. I have Baltimore at 3.5. I don't want to bet against Detroit again. I might be a little bit too low on this Detroit Lions team. I had Tampa Bay last weekend plus the 3.5. That one didn't get home. Luckily, the under did, but I didn't get the side home. I kind of want the under here because it doesn't feel like Detroit's offense has been as prolific as expected. They're not nearly as good on the road as they are at home. As a Baltimore team that looked awful in the red zone last week. I mean, just atrocious play calling there by the Ravens to try and get more points on the board against Tennessee in a game they really controlled. So I lean the under 43. I would lean Baltimore. I'm not going to play Baltimore. To me, it's this 43 on the under or pass.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mike here. I didn't play this, not going to play this. I do think the Ravens at home are generally very tough, but I can't wait to see this game. Probably the best game of the weekend in my estimation.
I am going to lay 1.5 with Baltimore in the first half. This is one of those weird betting situations where we're down on Baltimore based on what we've seen recently. Now we have Jared Goff outdoors in the elements on the road. I'll lay that 1.5 and back Baltimore in a rebound spot.
Detroit, great run D, forces the Ravens to be one-dimensional. Lamar Jackson, 15-1 in his career against the NFC, 7-0 at home. However, the Lions, 7-1 ATS, their last 8 on the road. That continues. Take the Lions plus 3. Next up, Samich, 459, Buffalo at New England. Buffalo's laying 8 on the road.
Man, I almost said New England is the worst team in football after last week. They came alive a little bit in the second half on offense, but this is still a team that's absolutely devoid of talent, still missing 2 key pieces on the defensive side. Going to get a pissed off Buffalo team here going into Foxborough. I like Buffalo here. I laid the 8. I also like this as a teaser leg. I like them -2, -1.5, depending on where you're shopping. So team them up with Atlanta and one other game later. But for me, this is a Buffalo big. They like beating up on bad teams. This is a bad team they're facing this week.
I rarely like to come down in teasers, guys, but this is one I'll do it with Buffalo, even though they're on the road, and combine that with Seattle. That's the only play for me here.
Unders have been really good to me this year. They were really good last week. However, they were not good last night, and I'm curious if the market has adjusted and properly set this one at 40. I am going to go under because I can see New England doing nothing offensively, and what we saw from Buffalo with the Giants last week, their offense has some issues to work out as well. We'll go under 40.
Big guy, pay attention to the words coming out of my mouth. New England has failed to cover in 9 straight games as an underdog. It's not great. That continues. Lay the 8 with the Bills. New England is atrocious. Next up, Samich. Hope Dustin was paying attention because usually he just only listens to himself. 461, Washington at the Giants. Washington is laying 3 on the road. Samich, 37.5 on the total.
Yeah, on the under trend, we're at 53.3% red zone success rate in the NFL right now. Lowest number in 12 years. That's why we're seeing all these unders. We'll see. You keep an eye on that red zone success rate. If that starts to tick up, you'll see the totals tick back up. It's another game. Been bet heavily to the under. 42.5 the open, 37 right now, the current total. I like the Giants here. Once we got out to the full field goal, give me the 3. I think the Giants play well again this week. And I don't think Washington should be laying a field goal to very many teams on the road. Giants are one of them. So I'll take the New York Giants plus the 3 points.
Can't bet this game. Don't like either side. Don't have any confidence. But I like Mike's perspective on getting a home dog here in a division game.
If just so you know, these aren't official plays. So if you ever want to just give a lean, we're not going to hold you to it. Big guy, what do you got?
If I wasn't a Giants fan, I would take the three. Because I'm a Giants fan, I can't do it. There's no Andrew Thomas. We still don't know the status of Daniel Jones. However, the offense is very different with Saquon Barkley back. So I think it does make sense. I prefer the under in this one. Giants 13-0-1 to the under since a couple years ago when they were home dogs of less than seven.
Hide your wife, hide your kids, plug your nose, under. The last six between these two teams have gone under. Let's make it seven straight, big guy. I'm right there with you. Look at the big guy. 4-6-3, Arizona at Seattle. Seattle is laying 7.5 and a total of 44.5, Samich.
Yeah, I like Seattle in this spot on the teaser leg. I'm going to bring them down to -1.5 points, put them with Atlanta and put them with Buffalo, round robin those three teams in teasers this week. The injury report, not great for Seattle, or else this would be a play for me as well. I think that the pixie dust has run out here for the Cardinals. We're seeing them come back down to earth. And I thought Seattle played absolutely phenomenal last week at Cincinnati. I thought they were the better team, just could not execute inside the red zone. This defense in Seattle is for real. I like Seattle quite a bit, but I'm going to lay off the side this week because of the injury report.
I like Seattle here to cover the number. I think this Cardinals team, we saw in the second half, just laid an absolute egg at SoFi. The Seahawks bounce back, but if you want to go with a safer play, and I took Buffalo in a teaser with Seattle as well, but I think the Hawks cover the 7.5 up in Seattle.
Maybe one of Josh's Dobbs' final starts under center for Arizona. I think because of the road environment, the home field advantage they have up there with the 12s, Seahawks -4.5 in the first half is one I'm interested in looking at.
Bit of a passive aggressive shot from Mike Samich on the Bengals, because as you know, sharp money is a Bengals house. Disrespectful, but we'll let it go because he's sick. The Cardinals are an underdog for the 15th straight game. That's not great. However, I'll take the 7.5 with the Cardinals. Let's go. Next up, Pittsburgh at the Rams, 4-6-5. We talked about this one. The Rams will make this quick, boys, 3 and 44.5, Samich.
Lay the 3 now while you can. This thing's going to 3.5. We're seeing 3.5 in some books, -115 in others. So get your -3 for the Rams in now. To me, this is a Rams are clearly the better team here. I just power rated over 4.5 points for the Rams side, and they're at home. Give me the Rams -3.
I agree with Mike. The line was going to be 4, 4.5 here. Steelers 30th overall in total defense. It's the Rams are no play here if you're going to bet this game.
Exact words I was going to say. 4.5, 5-point game. It doesn't make sense to me. It's so obvious, but it feels absolutely dead on right.
Sweep, lay the 3, 4.67, the Chargers at Kansas City. Let's make it quick. I'll just tell you, we know I'm on the money line here. Let's go Chargers, short week. Why not? Go ahead, Samich.
Give me the points. I don't trust this Chargers teams to win against anyone, let alone the Chiefs. The Chiefs, very good on defense. This offense still figuring it out. I still think they're the best team in football, but I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game, and I want those 6 points.
No play.
Low on the Chargers, low on the Chiefs. I'll take that 5.5.
4.69, Green Bay is at Denver. Green Bay's laying a point, and the total is 45, Samich.
Denver's awful. They're quitting on the season. I'll happily lay less than a field goal here with Green Bay.
Again, another no play. This game is right there with the Bears and Raiders. Unwatchable.
The total does not make sense in this game. I do not trust either of these offenses to get into 45. Gladly going under.
Totally 45 is way too many points for these two. Going under here as well. 47, 471, Miami at Philly. Possibly along with Detroit and obviously Baltimore game of the week. Philly is laying 2.5. Total 51, Samich.
Didn't play it. Philly or pass, over for pass for me. I don't trust this Miami team against a very good team. The only time they played a good team was the Buffalo Bills. They got blown out. So for me, it's Philly or pass, but I don't want to bet against the Dolphins here.
I love the Philadelphia Eagles in this spot. This is my favorite play besides Alabama this weekend. This Miami team has beaten up on teams that have bad records. If you look at who they've played, they've not really played quality competition. They got absolutely smoked in Buffalo. I think the same thing happens on Sunday night at the Link.
Eagles first half -1.5. Eagles are 8-3 straight up in the first half going back through last year. Two of those that they did not win were against Washington. So in division, a team that knows them well, I'm going to back Philly.
Sunday night, both teams go bonkers off that terrible offensive performance by the Eagles last week at the Jets. Let's go over the 51.5. 4.73, Samich, San Francisco at Minnesota. San Francisco's laying 7, 44.
Man, I take this 7 if San Francisco didn't lose last week, but because they lost, I think you're going to see a hungry San Francisco team. I'll lay the 4 with San Francisco in the first half.
Not going to touch this game, but Mike brings up a good point. This team coming off of loss is a tough spot to bet against.
actually think I've never said these words this year. It might be an overplay at 44 with the Vikings defense being so bad and the Vikings throwing the ball a ton.
Give me Minnesota and a touchdown at home in prime time. I'll take the Vikings. Thank you, boys. Enjoy your weekend. Amal, good luck with the bets. Mike Somich, feel better, buddy. RacingDudes.com, VSIN, of course, the handle. Will he or won't he? That is literally what the nation is waiting for this Saturday and Sunday. I will say, if he makes it for 6 hours this weekend, that is incredible. And the big guy, great job. We'll see you. Sharp money on Monday.